Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today's conversation is about ownership, discipline, and what it truly means to take responsibility for your life without excuses and without shortcuts. Today's guest is an entrepreneur, author, mentor, and thought leader known for his direct approach to accountability, mindset, and self-leadership. Dr. Byron Cole, also widely known as Mr. Self-Made, works with individuals who are ready to step out of old limitations and lead themselves with clarity, structure, and intention. Through his work and his writing, he challenges people to stop waiting for permission and start building a life on their own terms. Dr. Byron, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I know that you're widely known as Mr. Self-Made. What does being self-made truly mean to you beyond success or status?
Yeah, being self-made isn't about money. It isn't about titles. It isn't about recognition. It's about ownership. And I feel that the moment you stop outsourcing responsibility for your life, for things that have happened in your life, especially in the past, you know, we talk about our parents and our circumstances or the economy. To me, self-made means it's like, you know, I'm owning my decisions. I'm owning my reactions. I'm owning my results, whether they are good or bad. And for me, I've been self-made in my own journey, you know, starting from nothing to becoming, you know, a multi-award winning Sunday Times best-selling author, Forbes featured, and starting, growing, scaling multiple different businesses. And so being self-made is an identity, okay? Yeah. And it's one that I live by every single day. So If we even talk about being self-made as an identity, I always say, first of all, it starts with ownership, taking responsibility for your outcomes. Then it's about choice, because we all have choice. So I always say, act with intentionality. And lastly, it's about standards, you know? Because when you raise the behavior, you know, everyone has standards, you know, but once you raise your behavioral standards and your expectations, not just from you, but from your peers and your individuals, that bridges the gap between being just average, being what I would like to call self-made.
Absolutely. And that's amazing. And that really reframes the whole idea of success when ownership becomes an identity. I love that, rather than a milestone. And everything changes. I think it's not about where you started or what you achieved, but how you consistently take responsibility for your choices and responses. And I'm so glad that you said that people do have those choices, because a lot of people don't realize they do. And when you said people consciously raise how they show up and what they tolerate, it naturally shifts the results they create and the circles they move in, really.
So absolutely.
That's amazing. And your work places a strong emphasis on accountability. Why do you think taking responsibility for our lives is so challenging for many people?
Yeah, do you know what? I feel like sometimes blame protects the ego, right? And, you know, we don't always hold ourselves accountable. And when you look at accountability, yeah, you know, what does it mean? You know, and I feel that accountability removes the comfort of blame. That's ultimately what I feel like. Because when you show up, when you are accountable, there's no excuses. There's no, I'm blaming somebody else for my growth. This is me taking full control and responsibility for the outcomes of my life and the things around me. And I call this, I use like a framework for this, and I call it like the accountability gap, you know, because blame feels safe, essentially. That's how I describe it. Responsibility, that feels uncomfortable, you know, and discomfort, that's where growth lies. So if we say the third one is, if we say growth lives on the other side of discomfort. And I feel that's the accountability gap, because when I look back and I measure all of my journey from starting, growing, scaling, developing businesses and becoming an author and helping people, and I feel like when we teach them about having accountability partners and having people that share these similar ethics and they use these various frameworks, they're able to accelerate their journey to success far quicker than those who don't have it.
It's interesting. And it's powerful as well. It's a very powerful way of putting it. And blame does offer short-term comfort. And I love that you've said that, because to be honest, I think that concept people don't really want to admit to either. What you're describing there is that moment where responsibility replaces protection, and that's not easy for a lot of people, but it's transformative, and I think that's amazing. And I really like how you frame that accountability gap, because it explains why growth often feels uncomfortable before it feels empowering, I would say. And when people surround themselves with others who share those standards and are willing to challenge themselves, of course, progress stops being accidental and becomes intentional. As we are now in the new year, many people want change but struggle to follow through. What mindset shift makes the most significant difference?
Absolutely. And we talk about this in our fourth book, Manifested Action. And I would say this: stop asking, how do I feel about this? And start asking, who do I need to become? Because when you're able to become the person that you vision, dream, want to be, it's far easier than the emotional element of, how do I feel about this? So many people act with emotion rather than, okay, that visualization. What person do I need to become in order to become a high performer, right? So I want to make sure, I always call this intention. You've got to be intentional, right? So identity over intention. You know, the intentions need to start strong. January, you know, early part of the year, Q1, the intentions need to be strong. And then your identity sustains the action, okay? So who do I need to become? The identity sustains the action. And then your behavior, as we spoke about before, that follows the belief. So there's so many layers I feel like you need to have in terms of having the right mindset to be able to achieve your personal goals, your financial goals, your relationship goals. And so many people year on year just bumble along and say the right things in the beginning of the year. It's going to be my year. It's going to be my year. But they don't make the mindset shift to become and think about who they need to become in order to achieve those goals that they want to achieve.
Shifting the question from how do I feel to who do I need to become takes people out of reaction and into leadership, I think. Emotion can change day to day, but identity gives you something solid to act from, and motivation might spark action at the start of the year, as you said, but it's identity that carries it through when enthusiasm fades, because we all go through that, don't we? That moment of, yes, this is my year. But when behavior is anchored in who you believe you are, consistency becomes far more natural, whether that's in performance, relationships, or personal growth or professional growth. But you see, what I come across, Dr. Byron, is people's discipline as well. So discipline is central to your message, I think, as well, that consistency. Yes. So how do you define discipline in a way that supports growth rather than burnout? Because I personally go through this sometimes myself, where it seemed to be a pattern I fall into and I'm getting so much better at it. But it was
Good.
that whole time management and then falling into that burnout and disciplining myself. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So what
Yeah,
are your
absolutely.
thoughts on that?
Do you know what? First, let's talk about the discipline element. Discipline isn't a punishment, right?
Yeah.
It's self-respect in action. Okay, so sometimes we've got to be disciplined and we're like, I'm going to punish myself and do this and do... It's not a punishment. This is like the self-respect in action. That's how I like to describe it. And I feel like burnout happens sometimes when discipline is driven by pressure or comparison. So we feel under pressure to be able to deliver something, do something, or behave in a certain way, or whatever it may be. And I think sometimes having clarity and having healthy discipline, which aligns to burnout. So I always say this, first of all, you got to have clarity. Know why you're doing it.
Yes.
You got to have boundaries. You got to protect your energy and not just your time. That's a no-brainer. I'm not going to talk about time because we know how important time is. Yeah. So you got to protect your energy with boundaries. Okay. And then you got to have consistency, small actions done every single day. Sometimes we put ourselves under so much pressure as business owners and professionals and entrepreneurs, and we put ourselves under so much pressure. But also something else that I like to have, and what I see happens, and some people are not clear on this, is high energy tasks and low energy tasks, because we notice that as we perform in our week, sometimes we've got a lot of energy, sometimes we don't. And then I started to look a couple of years back on what tasks I did the day before, see why I'm not performing at my peak the next day. Because why was it that I was on fire on Monday and Tuesday I'm slumped, and then on Wednesday I'm back again? And I started looking at the actual tasks itself, and I started to recognize that I was doing too many high energy tasks on the same days, so then it was taking all of my energy. So I started to look at then, okay, what are my high energy tasks? What are my low energy tasks? And I structure that throughout the week. And that helps prevent burnout, because sometimes we're just going at full speed ahead for the whole week. And it's not possible to perform at your peak. We are like athletes in every sense of the word. If you're you cannot perform at your peak all the time. You know, if you're a footballer, you perform your peak for 90 minutes. If you know, you cannot do it every single day for 5 days in a week. But why do we not look at that? We're not aware of these things. People don't talk about these things. So when you look at those, that healthy discipline of clarity, boundaries, and consistency, and then you understand how you perform as an individual, what are high energy and low energy tasks, is the recipe for you to achieve your goals for sure.
I love that practical distinction between high energy and low energy tasks. I think that's brilliant and such a valuable insight. It brings real awareness to how we work, not just how much we work. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because when people start structuring their week with that in mind, performance becomes sustainable rather than exhausting. And I like the fact that you did the athlete comparison, because it's spot on. That peak performance needs recovery, not constant push. And, you know, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And in your experience, what separates people who talk about change from those who actually commit to it?
Ooh, interesting question. Ooh, so I would say, talkers, they wait for certainty. You know, they're the ones who, like, you know, they want it to be 100%. Can you guarantee this is going to be the outcome? And the committers decide they want to build, and then they get the clarity after. And I it's such an interesting space, because obviously I've mentored, you know, thousands of people over the years, and I've seen the differences between the talkers. Like, yeah, I want to do it. And then those who are just committed. I made a decision mentally, physically, emotionally, financially to do this. And then sometimes it means they build clarity a little bit after. But they have made a commitment to themselves. And sometimes we think about the difference between... And I just thought, it's not about talent, okay? Because in both instances, both people may be talented. But it's about tolerance for discomfort. right? Because some people want to do things only when the environment and the circumstances are perfect. People who commit are willing to feel awkward. They're willing to feel slow. They're willing to enter when things are imperfect, right? And these are the guys that get the results. So if we call this, commitment, and let's just put it into, I love frameworks, and let me give you one, just from off the top here. And it's like talking, deciding and acting, right? So the talking is when you're thinking, that's all that is. When you're talking about it, you're just a thinker. You're a great thinker. You're thinking aloud. When you're deciding, that's when you're really committing. And when you're acting, that's when you're really becoming, right? So yeah, that's how I would separate those.
That's amazing. Thank you so far, Dr. Byron, for your valuable insight so far. We're going to pause here for a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm in conversation with the incredible Dr. Byron Cole, also known as Mr. Self-Made. Before the break, we explored accountability, discipline, and what it really takes to commit to change. Let's continue. Welcome back, Dr. Byron.
Thank you so much.
Now, fear holds many people back. Fear of failure, judgment, or even success. How do you help people move from or through fear instead of avoiding it?
Ooh, I like that. Okay, I would say that, I don't help people eliminate fear. I think fear is a natural thing for many people, right? But I help them stop obeying it, because that's what's holding them back. And then I move to giving them clear structure, clear information that eliminates that fear. Because with process, with structure, it makes things so much more easier to see the roadmap clearly from a bird with a bird's eye view, as opposed to the unknown. And I think sometimes fear comes from the unknown. Okay.
Yes, it
And
does.
when you learn to act with fear rather than waiting for, it's like I see so many of my mentees, right, and who come into the space of I'm going to start, grow, scale, develop my business, become an author, become a public speaker, and they're like, I'm fearful of this. My job isn't to say don't be afraid. My job is to provide a clear framework in order for them to be able to execute and achieve their goals. And sometimes that is by getting a quick win. When you start to see momentum, you start to realize I can do this, right?
Yes.
So fear is also a good thing because it's a signal of growth, right? So I always say to people, or I'm going to bring Bianca into this because she says this, and I think she coined this from somewhere else. She said, "Feel the fear and do it anyway." She always says that, and I certainly agree.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to embrace it. And know that it's a part of our DNA, but it's managing it, isn't it? And I think that framework that gives people the framework that you shared, Dr. Byron, gives people something solid to step into rather than just relying on motivation or hope. And those early wins and are so important because they shift belief from thinking to knowing and that moment of actually, I can do this. And I love that reminder that fear being a signal, not a stop sign, because feeling is, it doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It often means you're growing and acting anyway with support and structure is where confidence really starts to form. And I think I know that when I was doing my TEDx talk, I was fearful because, but I embraced it anyway.
Yes,
That was
absolutely. Yes,
the
feel the fear and
point
do it anyway,
indeed.
right?
And I love that saying because it's so, I think it's so impactful. And you've spoken about the importance of environment in the past and
Yes.
how much do surroundings, habits, and influences
Oh,
shape who we
massively.
become because you yourself from your own experience know this,
Yeah.
and I know it from a psychological perspective. But what can you share with our audience today, Dr. Byron?
Oh, you know what? This is a big one, and I'm going to try not to go into a crazy rant about it, but let me say this. Your mood, your environment impacts your mood. Your mood impacts your output. Your output impacts your income, and your income impacts everything. Right? So your environment is so important to whether it's in two, let's break it down into two things. Environment based on the people that you're around and the environment and where you physically are. And that could be, you can have two different outputs by working in a, we talk about this all the time. How much more productive are you working from home or working from the office? Why is that? Your environment. You know, how much more productive if you spend every day with a millionaire, the chances are you're going to learn something to be able to help you raise your income. If you're spending every day with people that are doing bad habits, the chances are you're going to enter that bad habits. You know, it's just a cause and effect, right? Because people influence your identity. Habits influence your behavior, and standards influence your outcomes. Simple as that, right? So people need to be very aware about the people they're around, the habits they're around, and the standards they are around. Because for me, I've been able to surround myself in some incredible environments. And in fact, when I recently changed environments physically, I didn't have an office. So I was in the UK, came to the UAE, and I didn't have an office space set up for like 2 months. My productivity in those 2 months was terrible. I wasn't able to focus, I wasn't able to concentrate. So your environment is so important to the outcome of the things that you achieve. You must make sure your environment first, but the space you are in, the people that you're around, has to be well vetted and very intentional. And I'm very passionate about it because I see time and time again, we all know, we've all heard stories about he had the wrong friends, she had the wrong people around them, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
We've seen these stories, right? So I always say, surround yourself with successful people and great people, great things. So that becomes normal. That's your normal understanding, right? So your environment raises your standards. And then that's when growth becomes normal.
And when your environment is intentional, focus follows naturally. And I think that's a powerful takeaway for anyone listening today. If you want different outcomes, start by looking at what and who you're surrounded by. And I thank you for sharing that again, Dr. Byron. I think that's amazing. And your books explore personal responsibility and self-leadership and manifestation and financial advice. You were saying earlier, there's 4 books that have been published and
yes.
And co-authored as well by yourself and Bianca Miller-Cole, your wife.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And what inspired you to write your first book, especially Self-Made, was...
Yes.
So it's titled Self-Made. The,
yes.
Define,
Guide to, yes, yeah, Definitive yeah. Guide to Business Startup Success, Self-Made. Success.
Yeah.
It's our first book, yes.
So what do you hope readers take away from that?
I would say Self-Made, the book, is your business almost Bible, your pocket mentor. And it will walk you through the journey to starting, growing, scaling, developing your business, right through to exit. It's the most successful book we've had. Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks volumes because if you're in business, if you're starting, if you're already in business, this book will give you that reminder, because sometimes we know the things already and sometimes we don't. We'll either give you the answers or we'll give you the reminder of something that you're leaving behind. You're leaving money on the table. So it's really important for me that, in fact, we're writing a second edition. The publisher said this book is so incredible. It's been so successful. We want you to write a second edition because when we wrote the book, as an example, AI wasn't prevalent. Mm-hmm. Now AI is our friend, right?
Yes.
It's for some people, but we all use it. So we're making those updates because, you know, ChatGPT and these other things are around now. So Self-Made is for anybody who wants to start, grow, scale their business. And I want people to read this book and to feel like it is their pocket mentor.
And I think that's incredible that you're writing a second edition, because I think that will be so valuable for so many people. And it's timely, isn't it, with AI, as you said. And I love the idea of the book as a pocket mentor. I think that's great, Dr. Byron, because something...
Thank you.
Something people can return to as they evolve. And the fact that you're updating it to reflect the world we're actually living in, including AI. It is our friend, if we use it correctly. It really speaks to how practical and relevant this work is for entrepreneurs at every stage. So that's something to look forward to. Now, many people feel stuck even when they're capable. Where do you see people blocking themselves without realizing it?
Go ahead.
Because I find personally a lot of people feel stuck due to finances. And that seems to be the biggest blocker that I've come across with most people that I've spoken to.
So I asked this question, a rhetorical question. Do we think there's not a lot of money in the economy in the world?
Mm.
And I would say they're literally printing money. And I would say, coming back to the environment, you're not around the people that have the money. And if I take this to a genuine story of when I was trying to get into property 2 decades ago, I would go and I would hang out in Hilton, Waldorf, Lanesborough, all these fine hotels, and I would see people with money and wealth all the time. And I would go to auction houses and I would see people with money. And I think sometimes when you're in your bubble, you believe that there isn't money out here. Obviously, I'm between the UK and the UAE, and I see people with wealth every single day. And governments are literally printing money now. The issue isn't that there is no money. They don't know how to access the money. And I understand your point, because it's valid in the sense of people feel like they're not able to, they feel stuck because they haven't got the money. Well, that is true to a degree, but they can find the money, they just don't know how to. So I would say these are the hidden blockages. Number one, overthinking. So we need to become solution orientated. I haven't got money, how can I find it? There's going to be thousands of people today that are going to get millions of pounds invested into their business across the world. Is it because there's a lack of money? No, they've asked the right questions to the right people, they've got the right product. In fact, I get pitched every single day for opportunities. And if I don't go for it, somebody else will. Because these VCs and investors, when they look at these opportunities, they say, okay, you need 10 million. And they put 10 million in 100 places with the hope that only two of those are successful and grow and scale, because that will pay for all the other mistakes and some. So they spread their risk. So it's not about there being a lack of money. It's more so they don't know where to find it. And the blockages are, as I mentioned, overthinking, number one. Waiting for validation. Someone say, yes, go ahead, you should do it. Just go and do it, right? Yes. And number three, avoiding discomfort. So why are they not having these money conversations? Because it feels uncomfortable. We're taught in the UK specifically, don't talk about money. Don't talk about how much you earn. Don't talk about how much you should do. Like, why not? Let's celebrate success. Let's celebrate failure together. I didn't make it. It didn't work. Whoop-de-doo. Let's go again, right? And I feel like when we get over that avoiding discomfort and those awkward conversations, it makes it so much more easier to achieve success. Because when I've got my community of entrepreneurs, and we talk about blockages every day, we think about things that are going wrong every day. We this is what the group is for, right? And these conversations are just so different because they've been as well where you have been, and they're on the similar journey to you. So, you know, that's what I would say anyway.
And I, again, such valuable insight, because I think a lot of people need to hear that. I love the way that you express, okay, so it failed. I think that's a great attitude, because I think that's the fear, isn't it? The fear of failure that we often come across. And when you're highlighting that, there's such importance of not overthinking and waiting for validation and avoiding that discomfort quietly becomes the real blockage. And really, people need to overcome that overthinking, because that's the key point here. And those money conversations feel uncomfortable because we've been conditioned to avoid them. And it's true. I have seen it and heard it myself, that people start asking better questions and surrounding themselves with the right environments and normalizing those discussions. It will shift ideas completely. But then you get those people who really get stuck in that moment. How do you personally reset when things feel off? I know you said you've got the company and you surround yourself with other entrepreneurs, but there are moments for a lot of people where things do feel off mentally, emotionally, or physically. But how do you personally reset?
Great question. And you know what? It's only something that I'm recently learning, because as an entrepreneur, I am go, 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 go from the second my eyes open till I close my eyes. And only recently, from having a young child, I've slowed down. And I listen to my body. You know, I've been getting the baby's flu, and I've had a virus, and I was sick, and blah blah blah. So now I listen to my body. Before, when clients would say, ask me for things and I'm sick, I'm still responding. I'm like, I need to respond. My client's message me. Like, now I send them a holding message, and I'll just simply say, hey, just so that you know, thank you so much for the message. I've acknowledged this message. But I'm currently under the weather right now, and when I'm back in my desk, I will then respond to you. Yeah. And people are like, oh my God, thanks Byron for responding. Blah, blah, blah. So the first part of that is to reset, to answer the question directly, is my body is first, okay? Mm-hmm. Then my mind is second. Where do I need to be mentally right now? Like, okay, what's going on with me, etc., etc.? Because we all go through challenges, right? We all go mm-hmm. through, you know, so many challenges. And then lastly, strategy. So it goes body, mind, strategy. That's how I make sure that I reset. Now, if we're talking about this just from another side of that, sleep, movement, structure, reflection. That's how I would put it together. And because I don't sleep enough. When I get sick, I start to sleep loads, right? Yeah. So movement, I love playing football. I love going to the gym. I find it gives me more energy. Structuring my days, structuring my weeks, structuring my months, so important to me. I need structure in my life for success. And in reflection, something that I've not been great at over the years, although I've been so successful, is that reflection moment. It's like, okay, how did I achieve that? What went wrong? What went right? Etc., etc. So that's super important to me in my journey and my success. So that's how I would answer that.
Again, thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Byron, for your amazing insight and your valuable advice. We're going to take another short commercial break and then we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia and I'm joined by the amazing Dr. Byron Cole. Dr. Byron, we were talking earlier about how you maintain your mental health, emotional and physical health, and when you need to personally reset. And you shared just before the break, you were sharing how your body, mind, then strategy comes into play. And it reminds me that performance isn't just about pushing harder, it's about sustainability. And the way you've broken it down into sleep, movement, structure, and reflection gives listeners something practical they can genuinely start applying straight away. So thank you for such valuable insight in this conversation today. Now, what does real confidence look like to you, and how can someone begin building it from where they are right now?
Oh, okay, what does real confidence look like, and how do they build on it? I guess confidence is like, you know, self-trust. It's not about, you know, being loud. You have to be, when you're really confident, you really believe in yourself, right? And keeping those small promises to yourself consistently is so important. Confidence isn't about something you think into existence, which is what we spoke about in our fourth book, but it's something that you earn. And it starts with action, which when you start the action, it then converts into evidence, because you get results or you don't. So there's the evidence element to it, and that helps your confidence to say, okay, this is working, that's not working, and it's momentum. And then the evidence goes into belief, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're like, oh wow, you know, I believe in what I'm doing, I'm seeing the results. And then your belief turns into stronger action, and this loop, if we will, we can call it a confidence loop. This loop pushes you forward. And the other part of the question is, how does someone build from where they are now? I think that was part of the question, and we talk about this in the fourth book. Start with taking action today.
And again, that's amazing, because I think what I'm taking away, and I think it's really important, is that self-trust. And when you said confidence is earned through action and those kept promises, isn't it? It becomes much stable, far more stable that way. And where you've spoken about the confidence loop as well, action creating evidence and evidence strengthening belief and belief fueling better action, it shows people that confidence isn't something you wait for, but it's something you build step by step, and starting today, and then being consistent with it. But consistency is often harder than motivation. We all know this. And
oh yes.
How do you encourage people to stay steady when motivation, it starts fading away?
Yeah. No, I teach people to build systems and not rely on feelings. That's what it's about.
Yes, that makes sense.
Motivation, yeah, right? And motivation is emotional. Systems are structural, right? Mm. So I always say to people, you know, routine is so important. Have your routine and have standards over feelings and consistently look at the progress. And I'll say, I'll add to that actually, I'll say progress over perfection, because sometimes we can all be perfectionists. I don't want to put this out until this happens. Some of my biggest clients I've ever worked with have wanted to work with me, and I've said to them, okay, I'm going to build this program with you. What you're asking for doesn't exist. I don't have it. But I can deliver. You know I can deliver. So why don't we build it together and get the results together? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And sometimes we're like, I want to make sure every dot and I and website is perfect and the funnel's perfect before I put it out to people. Just put it out there. Get on with it. Right? So progress over perfection.
I really like that. I love the emphasis on progress over perfection. Waiting for everything to be flawless often becomes so, it's a form of avoidance as far as I'm concerned. So I love that you shared that people should just do it anyway, you know, and not wait for things to be final, because you can develop that as time goes by. And finally, for someone listening who feels ready for change but unsure where to begin, what's the first step you'd encourage them to take?
Ooh. I think you have to be, it starts with yourself. You've got to be true to yourself. You know, I think that is the first step to understanding where to begin. You got to be honest. You got to have an open and honest conversation about who you are, where you are, what you want. What have you been avoiding? Because clarity comes after honesty. And that allows for... And then I will say that the action follows after clarity. Right? So you got to be really honest with yourself. You got to make sure everything... Your decisions will then be aligned, you know, one after the other, and then just take immediate action. And they say that there's a principle called the law of diminishing intent, by the late Jim Rohn, where I first heard this concept. And he says that when the emotion is high, when the intent is there, when the flame is burning hot. This is my interpretation, by the way, not how he says it. But we take action immediately. The longer it takes us to take action on said dream, the less likely we are to achieve it or even start it. So take action immediately.
That's very empowering. And that piece is really a starting point, and I think that's amazing. Dr. Byron, thank you for such a grounded, honest, and empowering conversation. Your message around responsibility, discipline, and self-leadership is one that many people need to hear, especially as they step into a new chapter. If any of our audience wish to connect, where can they reach you?
On Instagram, at Mr. B Self-Made, on YouTube, Byron Cole. I post every single day on long form content on YouTube and on LinkedIn, Byron Cole. Again, I post every single day, adding value where I can.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated, please share it with someone who might need it. To close today's show, I'm leaving you with a song that perfectly reflects ownership, grit, and self-belief. The Man by Allo Black. Until next time, take care of your mindset and your choices.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done.